Take your Bible, if you would. Find the 9th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 9. Also, find and put something in Psalm 103, Deuteronomy chapter number 9, and Psalm 103. We'll get there at the end of the message in the 103rd Psalm. I trust that as we get there, it will bless you and encourage you. Continuing our studying our series and our theme through the book of Deuteronomy. I don't know about you, but I'm running into the book of Deuteronomy everywhere in my life. I find it applicable. I find it explaining parts of me. I find myself comparing to the nation of Israel. I find myself finding some of the same opportunities that they had to take a step of faith and trust the Lord. And so just such a wonderful book to read and to study, especially from what I would call a bird's eye view. And I mean by that is we're able to go past the book. We're able to understand the decisions that they made, both positive and negative, to see the consequences of the choices that they made. And knowing what we know about God and knowing what we know about them, I find myself reading it thinking, oh man, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Oh, if you couldn't do that. And then I think about my own life and I think, what are you doing, Tom? Why would you not do that? Why would you not trust the Lord? Why would you not take a step of faith? And so the practical application and personal confrontation that you find in this book has just really ministered and blessed. And we're only shortly into it. And so I'm looking forward to the rich, deep work that God is going to continue. I'd like to begin by asking you to take your pen, and I would like for you to find chapter number 9, verse number 6, and I would like for you to underline the first two words of that verse. You're going to need them. The first two words of that verse are, understand, therefore. I'd like you, if you would, please, I'm sorry, I skipped one, to go to verse number 3 as well. I knew that didn't make sense to me. And underline the first two words of verse number 3. As you remember, as Brother Keith taught us, as we study the Bible, we look for reoccurring words. We look for reoccurring thoughts as we read the chapter. When you read Deuteronomy chapter number 9, two times you find the imperative command to understand, therefore. If you were to take a Strong's Concordance, which is a Bible dictionary, and you were to look up the word understand, it's used three times in the book of Deuteronomy, but it's only used twice in this vernacular here, where there is a command to understand. And so I'm preaching a message tonight simply entitled, you need to understand two things. You need to understand two things. I have said that to my children before, and I've had my dad say that to me over the course of my life. Have you ever told someone you need to understand two things, or you better understand this? It's a serious statement. They're serious words. They're important. They're words that either can bring great blessing or they can bring great harm. They're consequential to your benefit or consequential to your negligence. And so I want to take the 9th chapter and I want to look at God speaking to the nation of Israel again through Moses. And God has a desire that they understand two things. And when you leave here tonight, I want you to understand these two things in your life. When you pick up in verse number 1 of chapter number 9, it's another important word in the book of Deuteronomy, and it is the word hear. You find the phrase, hear, O Israel. This is the 5th time that God has said in 9 chapters to the nation, hear Israel, hear Israel. The word hear is used, I think, over 100 times. I believe the phrase, hear, O Israel, will be used about 50 times. This word, hear, does not just mean that you have the evidence of sound or that you kind of hear something as it passes through. It's an attentive word. When he says, hear, O Israel, he's saying three things. Don't miss them. Pay attention, understand, and obey what you are hearing. Pay attention, understand, and obey what you are hearing. So Moses stands up here, and he's speaking. He says, hear, O Israel, thou art to, what are those next two words? Pass over Jordan this day. This day. We're coming back to that. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, those were the giants, whom thou knowest, now this is an important phrase, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? All right, Moses opens chapter number 9 with a preface here. He's driving for two points. He wants them to understand two things. I'll get to those in a moment. Laying the groundwork for what he wants them to understand, he says, now pay attention. Understand what I'm about to tell you and obey what I'm about to tell you. This day, you're going to get up and you're going to go over Jordan. You're going to pass over the Jordan River. Now, you know they've been here at this point before. Last time they were here, they were children as far as being confronted with passing over at Kadesh Barnea. And the nation did not believe God. They rebelled against God. They had unbelief against God. Therefore, they fell under the consequence of that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But now Moses comes to the new generation and he says, hear me now, you're going to pass over. He's encouraging them to take a step of faith. And this whole passage is about them launching out in faith, trusting the Lord. By the way, God's people will live their lives by faith. Faith is what appropriates the will of God, the blessing of God. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. In the wilderness, they were kind of under a legal kind of deal. When they crossed over into the promised land, this was the land that God had provided and prepared for them. And really, truthfully, what God wanted for them above everything was just simply faith. What is faith? The question has been asked. Exercising faith, there's two ways. There's saving faith when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And then there's what we call living faith or walking faith. And that really is when we put our trust in the Word of God. Faith cometh by and hearing by the Word of God. You as a believer are to live your life by faith. Pick up, if you would, chapter 8. Just look over there, verse number 3, the end of that phrase. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every, what's that word? Word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God wanted the nation of Israel to know when you get into that promised land, the way to live, the way to survive, the way that we walk this way is we walk by faith. I will say that the Christian life was always to be lived by faith. There will never be a time in your life where God will let you live apart from faith. Life will never get so simple for you that you will not have to exercise faith. God will never let you get to the point where you're so blessed and settled, where you're able to go into a selfish kind of understanding. He's always going to make it where you have to live by faith. Sometimes you'll lose your job. Pastor, why in the world did I go through this? Or sometimes it'll touch you in your health. Sometimes it'll touch in your savings. Sometimes it'll touch in your business. Sometimes, mark it down, God has a way of getting your attention. God is never going to allow you to get to a place in your life where you're not going to need to exercise faith in His Word. Pastor, I'm kind of in that place right now. I've got everything I need, and I'm not really exercising any faith. Two thoughts. Number one, you better make sure you're saved. The just shall live. Finish it by faith. Better make sure you know God. Number two, Pastor, I know God, but I'm not really in a position where I'm having to trust the Lord by faith. Then you better check and make sure you're in the will of God. Because the will of God will always bring me to a position where I've got to walk by faith. Now, that doesn't mean that the will of God doesn't have blessing or fruit or abundance or provision. All of that is within the will of God. But you need to check your heart right now and check kind of your life and see, is the life that I am living requiring faith in the Word of God, faith developed by the Word of God. This is what God wanted the nation of Israel to know, as when they get into the promised land, the greatest commodity that they are going to have is faith. If you understand that, say amen. All right. So He's got them confronted now. Now He's after their mindset here a little bit. Now I need you to pass over this Jordan, verse number one. And I'm going to give all these things to you. And He's up front with them. I love this about God. God's not afraid. He's up front. You're going to go in, verse 1. You're going to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Great cities that are great. They're fenced up to heaven. You're also going to face a people great and tall. They are the children of the Anakims. Now, Moses knew that the nation of Israel knew this name. They knew these people. And I love how it's put here. Whom thou knowest. You know, when you cross over there, you're crossing into the land of giants. God's giving them a heads up. I just want to say one word to you here. God's not afraid of giants. There you go. That's in the Bible, in the book of Hezekiah. Whom thou knowest, now watch, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Now think a moment. Moses is saying, now you've heard before in your life that nobody can defeat these giants, that we are grasshoppers in their sight, and these guys are going to kill us, and this is a suicide mission. Who told them that? Their parents, their mom and dad. Their mom and dad told them, you can't trust God. Their mom and dad told them those giants are bigger than God. Their mom and dad told them that the will of God is a suicide mission for you. Mom and dad, let me explain something to you. You better be real careful about how you communicate about God to your children. Well, Pastor, we tell our kids all the time. Right, I'm not talking about that. I was always taught this little phrase. More is caught than is taught. You can tell them everything you want to tell them. But unless you're obeying and doing it and living by faith, your children have the ability to determine that not everything you say is what you practice. I don't want to be a parent that keeps my kids from stepping out by faith. I don't want to be a parent that tells my kids God cannot meet our needs, that God cannot be trusted, that God... Well, Pastor, I never tell them anything like that. No, but what do you show them? What do you show them in your behavior? What do you show them in your practices? So God says, this is awesome about God. God says, now Moses, tell them to pay attention, understand and obey me. Get up, go over that thing. Now go over that river and go over there to those cities. When you get over those cities, those Anakims are there. I'm not afraid of that name, Anakims. They're over there. The people are there. Now I know that you know they're there, and I know that you've heard previous that it's a suicide mission. But the title of my message is, you need to understand two things. Look at verse number 3. First thing. Understand, therefore, say those next two words. This day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. I love that. As a consuming fire. I love that. He shall destroy them. I love that. He shall bring them down before thy face. You know, God never forgets what people say to him. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And God says, oh, do you feel that way? Okay, well, watch this. I'm going to bring them down to your little grasshopper face. Don't you think God has a sense of humor? Verse number 3. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. All right. Get up, go over. You're going to have to walk by faith. I know you think it's a suicide mission or you've been told that, but here's what you need to understand. You need to understand the moment. Write this down. You need to understand the moment. When you get challenged to take a step of faith, you need to understand the moment in which you find yourself. This day, understand this moment, this opportunity. He's not talking about the actual day they're in, but he's talking about this moment that they have. He says, I need you to understand that I'm going before you. I'm going to do this work. I'm going to be the one that is going to bring them down and consume them. I wrote these five things down. You better understand. God says to the nation that I am God. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that God is all powerful? I am God. I challenge you to do something. It will absolutely blow your mind. Sit yourself down at your kitchen table. Take out a piece of paper. Take your pen and try to write a definition of God. Where would you start? What would you put down on that paper? God dash. I don't. Pastor, I'd have to think about that. Think about it. Because whatever you put on that paper is really how you're going to live your life. So if I believe him to be my creator, then he's worthy of my praise. If I believe him to be all powerful, then I need to shut up my little mouth and sit my blessed assurance down. And trust him. In the moment, God said, you better understand, I am God. As I read the Bible, there's nothing impossible for our God. You know, God's pretty good at being God. I want you to write this statement down. I say this sometimes in counseling. Sometimes you have to give God a chance to be God. Sometimes you have to give God a chance to be God. We face moments in our life and they're so scary and they're so aggressive and they're so fast. And immediately we want to take control of situations and kind of arrest them to our security. And somebody will call me and they'll say, Pastor, I've lost this or I've found this or I've done this or whatever. And I'll say, stop. Breathe a minute. Let God be God. He's pretty good at it. I am God. Number two, I have a plan. God had a plan in what he was going to do. He had a purpose in what he was going to do. Number three, God wanted the nation of Israel to understand, I am able. Not only am I able to bring them down, I'm going to bring them down to you, grasshopper. I'm going to bring them down to your face where you can look at them and you can see what I'm able to do. Number four, I cannot fail. And number five, I won't do it without you. I won't do it without you. Go back to the verse. Understand, therefore, this day that the Lord thy God, I am God, is he which goeth over before thee. I have a plan. As a consuming fire, I am able. I will bring them down before thy face. I cannot and I will not fail. So shalt, what class? Thou. Thou? So shalt thou drive them out? Right. God says, now don't miss this. God said, I've got all of this land for you. I'm going to give you great cities, man. Just filled with blessing and goodness. I mean, lush. Those cities are fenced up to heaven, but I'm going to bring them walls down. When you get in there, man, I'm going to provide for you like you've never imagined. I know you know there's giants over there, and I know you've been told that it's a suicide mission. But I'm telling you what I'm going to do. But here's what I need you to do. You need to get up, and you need to go over Jordan, and you need to do exactly what I tell you to do. Because I'm not going to do it without you. I'm not going to do it with, if you're going to sit there, then I'm going to sit there. If you're not going to move, then I'm not going to move. But you're going, I need you to follow along. I need you to go over there. And I need you to do and be part of the plan. I think God says that to our lives sometimes. We come to very scary moments. We come to moments when the rug gets pulled out from under our feet. We come to moments when the clouds come in off of that ocean so fast in our life, and all of a sudden it goes from sunshine to gray. We come into those moments where God is moving and directing in our lives. And my friends, you've got to remember, he's God. He has a plan. He's able to care for you. He will not fail. But he wants you to trust him. He needs you to exercise faith so that he can do in and through you what he wants you to do. If you understand that, say amen. Go to verse number four. What time is it? Oh, I'm doing great. Speak not thou in thine, what's that word? Well, now we had that word three times last chapter, four times last chapter. Speak not thou in thine heart after the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. But for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, that he may, what's those three words? Perform the word. Underline those three words. That he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now we run into our phrase again. Understand this, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. For thou art a stiff-necked people. How do you like that? God says, now, I need you to understand two things. First thing I need you to understand is you need to understand the moment you're in. You need to understand that you're in a moment where you got to exercise faith and you need to go over here. You need to believe and understand that I'm God. I am able, that I cannot fail, and that I have a plan for you, but I'm not going to do it without you. You've got to trust me. By the way, when you get in there, don't you dare for one second walk in there and think you're somehow morally superior to these nations, or somehow because of your righteousness that you somehow deserve what I'm doing for you. Matter of fact, you're a stiff-necked people. And truth be told, the reason I'm moving here in effect was because of the wickedness of these nations, and this was the judgment of God against them. But in reality, what God was doing is God was moving with the motive to keep his word. Now, he had not made his word immediately with the nation. He had made his word with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But God was moving, and he wanted them to remember that it wasn't moving because they somehow merited or their goodness. He's doing this to perform his word. Are you with me? So let me put it in your vernacular. It's not about you. God would say, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's all about me. He's speaking here about the fact that what I'm doing in blessing you and what I'm doing in using you, I'm doing this not because you somehow merit it, but I'm doing it as an act of grace to you. I'm performing my word that I promised, and my grace is being extended to you in the performance of that word. You ought to go through and you ought to read the rest of this chapter and how he outlines for them their sinfulness. Matter of fact, come all the way down to verse number 24, and it's a pretty strong statement here. Actually, verse number 7, you get that and then we'll get link 24. Remember and forget not, verse 7, how thou provoked the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt. Until you came in unto this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. From the day they left Egypt, rebellion. Look at verse number 24. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Wow. And he goes through and he outlines their rebellion and how he had to pray for them and how he had to intercede for them. And so God wants them to understand two things, and I think these are imperative for you that you need to understand. He wanted them to understand the moment that they were facing and that they were going to have to walk by faith that they were ever going to know the blessing of God. Number two, he wanted them to understand the motive of why God was doing what he was doing. God was using them in their performance, accomplishing the performance of his word, and the blessing that was being bestowed upon them was an act of grace. Had nothing to do with them. They were deceitful from the day they started. It reminds me of a verse in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet, what class? Sinners. Christ died for us. We're so quick to think that our life is all about us. We're so quick to think we deserve what we have. We're so quick to think that we earned. We're so quick to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We're so quick to think that in some way God owes me. We're so quick to think in some way that I have what I have. And I absolutely deserve what I have. And the truth is, God wanted them to understand it wasn't because they were righteous that they were being blessed. It was because of God's grace they were being blessed. Why do I say that? Because if you don't understand this, you're going to be so discouraged in your life. Because Christian people that are saved, we call ourselves by the name of Christ, and we read the Bible, and we pray, and we have hearts to trust the Lord, and we want certain things in obedience to the Lord. And sometimes we get to a place in our life where we think that we should be shielded from the difficult moments of life. I shouldn't get cancer. Why should I get cancer? I'm a Christian. I shouldn't suffer. I shouldn't lose this. I shouldn't go in this direction. I've obeyed. I've been faithful. I've done this. Truth be told, we're sinners saved by grace. Truth be told, God loves you and he cares about you and he's working in your life, but God is working in your life to perform and fulfill his word in your life. He's bringing you and conforming you to the image of his son. He's bringing about in you that work and that molding into the life of Christ. And sometimes we think we deserve more than what God has given to us, or we think we deserve something that's less difficult than what the world would have. And somehow our lives ought to be some kind of fairy tale. And God said, when you get into that land, don't you think for one minute that you are somehow exalted. You're a stiff-necked people. But then God would say, but I love you, and I chose you in your stiff-neckedness, and I brought you out of Egypt, and I made promises to your fathers, and I extended my grace to you as a people, and I'm going to keep my word. But don't you exalt yourself in pride and forget that I'm the God of all grace. And I would say to God's people, don't you exalt yourself in pride and think God owes you more than what God has given to you. If you got what you deserved and I got what I deserve an eternity in a place called hell. But for by grace are ye saved. Hallelujah, what a Savior. You ought to read the rest of that chapter. Are you here tonight thinking God owes you more than what you should have had or what you have? Are you here tonight mad because somehow you feel like you're being shortchanged by God? My friend, God's telling you two things you better understand. When you come to the moments of your life, God's going to require you to walk by faith. And number two, you better understand the motive that God has in your life. He's performing his word and his plan and his will. And you're the beneficiary of God's grace. Don't forget that. How would I conclude this? I would conclude this with five statements, and I gotta be done, so I'm going to have you write them down. I think when you walk away from understanding these two things tonight, here's what you need to understand. Number one, we serve a merciful God. Read Psalm 103. Number two, our God is faithful to his promises. Even when we are unfaithful. The nation of Israel, That's what God wanted them to see. He didn't want them to get over there and think themselves to be some kind of spiritual giant. He wanted them to realize that this wasn't because of their faithfulness per se. This wasn't because of their righteousness. This was because God had extended grace in their life. A Christian who forgets about the grace of God is a Christian who's filled with pride. The Bible says this: God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the who? to the humble. He resists the proud. He giveth grace to the humble. Number three, this day you must live by faith. You must live by faith. God will still work in your life. And God will still move in your life. And God will still use your life to some degree even if you don't live by faith. But you will miss out on the blessing. Would you please understand? The life of faith is a life of blessing. The life of faith is a life of blessing. And God's people who don't understand how to live by faith, they live in a wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, the nation did get water. In the wilderness, they did get food. In the wilderness, they did get some shelter. But my goodness gracious, it wasn't like the wells of Canaan, that water. That food was manna and quail. It wasn't like the garlics and the leeks and the olives and the honeycombs. It wasn't what God had for them. They had some covering under some tents. But man, they're getting walled cities. Beautiful. And so God's people who don't understand how to live by faith, yeah, they're Christian and yeah, they have a Christian life, but it's a miserable walk in the wilderness in life and they never enjoy anything. They're never satisfied. They never know the rich blessing of God. And why? And then we begin to blame God, but it's not God. We just didn't exercise faith. It's miserable to be a Christian and not know the joy of the Lord. But you will never know that joy if you don't step out by faith and trust the Lord. Lastly, you need to know that God is performing His will in your life. And His will is good. And it's good all the time. Understand two things. Understand the moment. Walk by faith. Understand the motive. Live by faith in a humble way as God performs His word in your life. Shall we pray?